My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that doesn't get any better than this. Perfect weather, A-Wad, nice baton, right in the proper place in my hand. Turning the corner, folks, we're getting it going. It's burgundy and gold, for real, tackle football week two, and we're not going to mess around at all. I am so glad that we got real tackle football coming forth. We got some ground to make up, because until you win, the season doesn't start for me. So we got to get a win, and then we really can get this thing untracked. For those of you that saw it, it was pretty clear that we got some room for improvement, things that can be done a lot better. We're going to start defensively, and we're going to bring in Donna Hopkins, who is on the scene, Skeletto's on the ground, to get it going today, and she will definitely highlight today as we try to figure this thing out. Donna Hopkins, Lamont Jordan, Ken Harvey, Kevin Sheehan are going to be, they're going to help us today kind of get a better feel for where we stand. And how do we beat the Giants? This is not going to be easy. I know it's funny, and William A. Taylor, my Giant friends, I've been mocking them, talking trash. But literally, I'm just talking trash, because we haven't beaten them since I had an afro. So we're in no position to really be talking trash about anything, but I can't help myself. I just know that this is a very winnable game. I don't think we're out of our class. We shouldn't be overwhelmed. And it's one of those games that we got to win this. We got to get this thing started. Program cannot start until you get a win. Other than that, we just talking trash and moving our feet and not gaining any distance. Communication is always a problem when you don't play real games. We could spend the whole 3 hours, and we're not going to do this today, about should they have played. We'll handle that in the offseason. What's done is done. I don't get it. I don't know how you can get better not playing. For the life of me, I don't care if you are the most seasoned player on the team. Not to be able to play at least a possession or play a quarter. The great Bobby Wagner, I think, can play a possession or so. That's just me. And until they win or play better, I feel like I'm proven right, because it was just not done well. It was not smooth. It was herky-jerky. Communication broke down. Things that they did well in practice did not do well in the game. Why? Because everybody's going to have a little stage fright. Everybody's going to be a little uncomfortable. So why in the heck could you not have done it under the bright lights? Just gotten your feet wet. Okay? Well, they didn't. And you come out against the team. You know, Tampa was better. I hoped they'd win. I didn't pick them to win, but I'd hoped they'd win. But Tampa was better. We couldn't counter it. Were we close? Yeah, you were there. You had some pressure, but you didn't finish. You didn't finish. You were close. And what were the breakdowns about? I listened to people all week that I really respect. Communication, corners. My boy Smoot said, hey, you cannot think about what you have me or you not have me. You got to know what you have from a coverage standpoint. I listened to Joe Witt Jr. I still believe, still my favorite soundbite. But like he said, he had to check himself. First evaluation comes on themselves. Kingsbury loved it. He said, hey, man, it's on me. I love the fact accountability. Nobody's perfect. But let's accept the fact that now what do we do to beat the Giants? Donna Hopkins joins us now. And I'm going to ask you, Donna. Okay. And what I'm going to ask her that, and that's Heavy Metal and I, this is what we do. You know, we just in the backyard, man. We just like dudes in the backyard scrapping. And when you get her on the phone, I'm going to ask her, what is the most important thing that we have to clean up in order to beat the Giants? Then I'm going to ask you, the faithful, Burgundy and Gold, what do you think is the most important thing we have to get accomplished in order to win the game on Sunday? And that's where I'm at. And then, of course, you got the right to, you know, do whatever you think. But I'm just, and I know it's not popular to want to win the game, but that's all I care about is that how do we win the game? What we wear, the gold pants, all that, whatever. I need to figure out a way so that we outscore the opponent and beat a lousy-ass team that we've not been able to beat. That is my question. And I'm going to ask you first of all, Metal. I'm going to start this bad boy off with you. Your gut feel right now about we can't fix Tampa. You couldn't probably beat them anyway. But what do we have to do to be able to beat the Giants?
I mean, I think we got to get to Jones a bunch, man. We got to get him on the ground, on his back, on the ground.
Okay.
He has been so good against us the last few years, and I know every time he comes in, he's not supposed to be that good, and then he just has our number.
We got to
get him
of?
On his back. I want to see a bunch of sacks on him, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, he's not afraid of anything. Why is he play so well against us? Because he's not scared.
I don't
scared.
Have the answer for that. I don't
he's
know.
He's not scared
but we got to put him on his butt.
Yeah, well, we got close. I'm going to say this. We're getting off the ball, but that's not close enough. Here's going to be the question. You know you don't have enough good players. Duh. That's clear. Just because we bring over somebody new doesn't mean they're good enough to get the job done. Okay, so that's the understanding that we have. So we'll bring in an expert, Donna Hopkins. I'm going to ask you, Donna, what do you think it's going to take to be able to beat the New York Giants on Sunday?
Hey, Rick, you know what? I'm staying on the defensive side of the ball. How about saying that the defense shows up this week? Because against Tampa, they sure did not show up. Made too many mistakes, which Coach Witt talked about this. How can you not communicate when you know that that was one of the things last year missing? And talking to the players this week in the secondary, on the front of the defense, everybody said the same thing as far as the communication is what was lacking and a whole bunch of other things on defense. But I think that this is the side of the ball that gives you so much trouble against Daniel Jones is defense being able to contain the quarterback, which they did not do that against Baker Mayfield. And Daniel Jones, like it or not, whether he's a good quarterback or not, he seems to be a great quarterback when he faces the Commanders, and them containing him, keeping, you know, as far as the edges and, you know, Baker Mayfield eluded them. Coach Witt talked about, you know, you got to the quarterback with the pressure, but you just couldn't get him down. And that's the key this week is getting the pressure up front, which We didn't see a whole bunch of them getting sacks. To me, getting to the quarterback is rattling him, getting him down, getting the sacks. They had one sack last week, Doc, and just to me, containing him. And, you know, Quan Martin talked a little bit about that this week. What I saw at practice was them working on technique on the defensive line side. And in the secondary, Coach Witt was drilling them this week as far as the technique, so much so, Doc, that he was out there with them, showing them different things of what he wants this week from this group.
Well, great leaders assume responsibility when the students get D's. And I love what he said this week. He said, you can't let one situation beat you twice. You know, he said, there's a standard. They miss tackles. Well, they don't tackle live in practice. We have to wait till next year to see if they change that. They opted not to play players in preseason games. I disagree with it then. I'll disagree with it next year. I don't know how you get better at something by not doing it. They act like they're made out of China. I don't get it. Defensive people, man, they dogs. And I like the head trainer of the dog, Joe Witt Jr., said it's on me. I love the fact they said the same thing Kingsbury said on offense. They took the responsibility. It's on them. Better communication. I listened to the pros, the guys that are close to it, to get it. They all said communication, smooth. You know, it's all about communication.
Hey, Rick, and like you said, the thing that I don't understand, and if you've ever been an athlete, they said you play like you practice. And like you said, if they are not touching anybody's, hitting anybody's in practice, putting the pads on each other, then how are you going to be game ready? And most of these guys always say that the NFL season doesn't get good until 4 weeks into the season because – every team has not put pads on. You know, in the old days, you had two-a-day practices, and you were hitting in one of those practices. But now you got this soft stuff going that, we don't want players to get hurt. We don't want you to touch them in practice. Well, you can only do walkthroughs. That's, to me, what practice has become, is walkthroughs when you cannot put bodies on the players. And, you know, back to the defense again, and you know, I haven't touched on the offense, but I stand on the defense because, to me, this group was one that was supposed to start quick and everything. They talked about being valiant, you know, as far as the speed, which Coach Witt said at the end of the game, he felt that that fell off some as far as the speed part. The players, Quinn, Chin, and all of those guys talked about the same thing, but they were talking about reading their keys too, as far as everybody being on the same page. Well, we know, Doc, that they weren't on the same page last week against Tampa. So again, you practice like you game day is like you practice, and if they don't start NFL changing that, where you can put bodies on each other during the week, we're going to have this soft stuff up until the fourth game of the season when you finally get everybody up to speed as far as game day.
Well, he lost leverage, and he mentioned that. He talked about communication. I thought he did an excellent job on being transparent and assuming responsibility. Now he's got to get the kids to listen to him, and now what are they going to do about it? The field goal situation, I credit them. They took immediate and swift action. You're a pro. Your job is to kick. If you can't do it, next. They didn't fart around. They took immediate action. You know, and I love that. So playing harder, having better communication is important.
Hey, Rick, that's been a train wreck as far as special teams kicker because this is the fourth one that they bought in since the training camp hasn't gotten it right yet. But like Dan Quinn said, you know, if we see something's not working, and I can't credit them, is they're changing it immediately. They're not waiting to let me see if this can work out another week. Let me see, you know, if things change. It's almost like they want immediate results, and if they're not getting that, next person up, moving on from that. And that's what you have to do. I mean, you know, it's 17. They got what Witt said about one game, and they've got 17 more to go or 16 more to go. But the key is You can't lose opportunities. You may be saying that a lot. We got another one to go. This is only two games. This is a divisional game. It is a must-win early on that they get this game. And Rick, they can't go tripping into this game. They've got to come out hitting it right out the gates. From the offensive side of the ball, hopefully, you know, Noah Brown will be instituted into that receiving group, because last week it was almost like a silence with the on the offensive side as far as the receivers go. And Jaden Daniels talked a little bit about this week. I should have threw some of those passes instead of running. I don't mind so much some of the running and everything, because that helped out the offensive line, because he didn't get sacked but twice. But you have to get the receivers involved a little bit more. The running game, I like to see in him, instead of him running the ball so much, get the hands into the backfield a little bit more, because I think you have something special in that backfield. But Brown being hopefully plan this week will give them another big target. And then the receivers have to work a little bit in the more of getting open where Jaden Daniels can find them a little bit more, running through the progressions, being open like a Gary Clark, Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, and all those guys did, that if he's not hitting you right there, keep running. And sometimes I see that, you know, receivers aren't keeping running where he can find you if something breaks down.
Well, again, I've been on the team right here in this town. We lost five in a row. Sometimes it takes you a minute, but we flip the script. You can, you know, it's not the end of it all. But identifying why you didn't win, I'm impressed at the way they did. They went about that. It's important. Losing, you got to find a way. It's like drowning. You got to find a way to catch your breath and to recover. Can't swallow water. And that's why I'm going to be emphatic upon this. This is not like same old thing. No, it's not. It's brand new. We got to be so diligent, so aggressive in attacking this. Otherwise, it will become a habit, because we've lost so often around this place. You got to eradicate this immediately. And that's what I love about the attitude, from what I've heard all week. And I trust, you know, Tana, Logan, and Smoot, and they're on their eyes and ears, boots on the ground. And I agree with these dudes, because they understand it, because they was in locker rooms. And it's not a joke. And ain't nobody betting on it. Ain't got a damn thing to do with fantasy. This is about hand-to-hand combat. And we got our behinds whipped at a time and strangled. And what are we going to do to change it? And that's all I care about. How do we flip the script and be the team that got their behinds toe up, and then got a dude over there, Thibodeau, give him credit. He's clowned against us. That's got to end. It's absolutely got to end. Don, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Give my best to Mac, and I'll see you Monday.
You Monday, where you can kind of like educate Tony a little bit more on really the ones and twos of football, and also Gary Clark too, who was roaming around last week. We couldn't even find him.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. And then I'm gonna call the nurse before and make sure that they maybe up his medication so that he be a lot more alert on Monday. Thank you. We appreciate you.
All right, Rick.
That is Donna Hopkins, who, of course, we messing with my boy Tony McGee, and Tony McGee Football Plus, my man, who was a terrific player, role model, leader in this community. We're going to take a break. This is just, it's irritating, because I know the talent. We have enough talent to have been more competitive than we were. Would we have won the game? Can't say that. But we could have been better than we were. That is a fact. Speaking of being better, college football all over the place today. Lamont Jordan will join us bottom of the hour. We're going to just continue to keep going. Metal, maybe we can squeeze in a call or two at 1-800-636-1067. If you're there, we'll kick it with you. We'll get this going right here on a Saturday that is competitive, but I am really tight as a knot in a rope, because until we win, I'm going to be this way. It's just, I'm uncomfortable right now. I cannot get Sunday out of my mind, because we flashed and then we flutter. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Overtime here on a beautiful Saturday. High noon. And, of course, shout out to AWOD. Again, he was bringing it. It all starts with your leadoff guy getting out of the blocks. And once again, he was fantastic. It's I meant to ask you, Metal, what you thought about Dolphins-Bills.
Well, I mean, the Tua injury is the first thing you think of with that, man. I don't know what to think. I mean, that could be his career. Who knows?
Okay.
What do you think about Tua? You think he should still be playing?
No.
I mean, not this week, but I mean, do you think he should come back and continue playing long term?
Oh, he will. If they clear him, he'll come back. Yeah, he'll clear him. He'll come back.
He just signed a real big contract. It's hard not to, but man.
Yeah. No, he's a warrior. If you tell him it'll kill him or what, then he probably won't. But if they clear him, he's a competitor. I mean, guys do this what he does.
So. You got to trust those team doctors a lot then, man, because they don't always have the player's interest
in mind. They don't. But I'll say this. Only thing I would have said, he's competing. It's like I thought Jalen, I mean, he fell. I was more worried about him. I'd rather see Jalen get tackled if that's how he falls. I was worried about him getting hurt falling.
Yeah, I didn't like him sliding awesome. Head first all the time last week.
That was just terrible.
I didn't like that.
There's a lot to be figured out. But getting hit, competing, playing football, I mean, it's like NASCAR guy. Once you get in the car and put the helmet on, you're a driver. There's a chance it could be wrecked. If they clear him, he'll play because he's a player. But, it's football. I mean, I don't know how other to think about it. He knows everybody. You think he's going to walk away from that, then you never played.
I mean, a lot of people think
he's going to stop.
A lot of people stop when they get a certain, Troy Aikman ended his career when LeVar gave him a concussion. You know, at a certain point, I think guys are just like, this is enough. You know, whether you're cleared or not, I don't know if, I mean, it's not like this is his first concussion.
A lot more accomplished, and had done a hell of a lot more than Tua has done at the point of his
career.
Sure,
but I mean, at a certain point, I mean, is it worth still playing if you're worried about becoming, punch drunk or whatever,
Well, yeah. I mean, the warrior is not worried about that. That's the only civilian. That's the guy sitting on the couch is worried. The warrior's never worried. So I think that's the biggest bunch of crap that's thrown around. That's TV talk people and all that. The warrior's never worried. Now, it's so interesting. It's why people are all over it. We said we got
Jonesy on line one.
Jonesy, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, Doc. As far as to go with Tua, I hope he can come back and play. But if not, he walks away with 90-plus million bucks, man. So, I don't know. The Dolphins, they're the one pretty much sitting in Worriedsville. But Tua, if he wins either way, in my personal opinion. But moving on to tomorrow's game. Thibodeau has talked more trash than a Japanese radio station. But you can't argue that. I mean, because he's got the best of us. I would love to see us come out there tomorrow and pretty much, you know, put a complete, we'll bandage his mouth, you know, put stitches in it too. So he don't talk as much trash on the next game when we see him. Tomorrow, it's just the Daniel Jones thing for whatever reason. I mean, out of 31 other teams, he's terrible. But when he gets to us, for some odd reason, he becomes Superman. We got to pretty much bring some kryptonite to the field and get after him. Don't let him run up the middle like Baker Mayfield to get what he needs to keep drive sustained to pretty much get to what he needs to get between field goals and touchdown. We got to keep him off the field, and we got to get to him, rattle him earlier, and make him understand that, yeah, this is another bad season for you, whether you are in the game or out the game. So it's a defensive game for us tomorrow. It pretty much stopped Jaden, him. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't get into a Tua situation and slide feet first. And, you know, if I was his agent, I would get to him and say, hey, look, let's go on across the street here and talk to James Wood, outfielder for the Nationals. Maybe he could teach you how to slide. But we need you up for all 17 games and going into next season. You go out with any means of an injury. Let's not be a head injury or an injury to where as though it's an upper body thing, where as though you got hit hard by some clown because, you know, you were unable to slide or get out of bounds. Other than that, I think we'll get this game. So it's all about tomorrow, Doc, is can we get it? Can we do the right things? Can we stay on side? Can we do the fundamental things that will get us the W? So, yeah, well, only time will tell.
We gonna get it. I hope you're right. We're gonna have to, and I think everybody understands it, but I don't think people realize how hard it is to do those things, and that's why Joe Witt Jr. I could hear it in his voice this week. They've been going over all of this, but then you get in the game, and then people either panicked or forgot it. That's why you can't fake and can't practice the adrenaline. That's why I was saying, even if you're only playing for a series in a third preseason game, play them so they can get bodies accustomed to it. There's no benefit in not playing. I don't understand all these dress rehearsals walking around. It's a game you actually have to play to get better in. And it drives me the whole league. In this crazy behind approach to preseason, it's pathetic. And it's okay for the real good teams because they got better players. But the teams that are marginal in talent, they'll suck if they don't execute everything to the norm. And then we get stuck with a rotten product. Appreciate the call. We're going to move on, take a quick break. We come back. The all-time leading rusher at the University of Maryland, Lamont Jordan, will join us. We'll continue kicking it right here on Overtime on The Fan and Team 980. And seeing all this Renegade Raider Nation, I'm thinking Renegade Raider Nation, and they're honoring our guest, Lamont Jordan. And I kept telling myself, you know, Terps legend, also Jets phenom, but also a Raider staple. So the man spread his wealth all over. And they're having a black and white party when today. So, Jordan, LJ, you're not watching hoops? I mean, football all day? You actually working?
I'm be working watching football, Doc.
Well, you know what?
You know, that'll be later on in the evening. But, you know, it's a great life when you get a chance to work, get paid while you're watching the game. And then also just enjoying being around the fans and during my time with the Raiders. If there's one thing that I've seen as we travel to different stadiums, are Raiders fans are everywhere. And I'm really excited about that, about what's going on tonight. Myself and Lincoln Kennedy will be there. You know, also invite Terps fans to come on out, watch the UVA Terps game. And it's also a big UFC night. So I'm really excited about everything that's going on today.
All right. Well, you deserve it, man. You deserve it. So we know the canine community, we got your back. So whatever you need, just holler at us. Week one, you watching it as a pro and as a coach and as a guy that just loves the game, it looks like the old running back position is getting a further look. What say you?
It is. It is. Especially when we talk about the Commanders. I enjoyed, the game didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. You know, Doc, I believe I said to you, I think the Commanders will win this game.
You did.
Of course, that was hopeful and wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But I love what I saw. I love what I saw out of the running game. Those guys got downhill, and watching that first game of the season, you could see how rusty the team was. You could see that we do have a rookie at the quarterback position. But when I look at the running back position, seeing Brian Robinson get downhill, watching Austin Eckler, what he was able to do, it has to give you excitement when you look at this offense. And it's just a big change from what we saw last year.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them. I'd be angry this week if I didn't see improvement. And improvement with talent should be enough to get you to outscore your opponent. But, the basic fundamentals, and you know it as well as all of us, that when you don't make kicks that a pro should be able to make, when you don't capitalize, you're close, but you don't finish the deal, you usually don't win those games. Again, Mayfield, that's why I felt like they were better. Had better personnel, and they were better at the pivotal positions, and it proved to be true, but we still had a shot, and then the self-inflicted wounds come in. I don't think we'll make those mistakes this week. They won't be the communication mistakes this week. I think they understand how to play a little bit better together, and a large majority of our team, it was their first snaps, and that was self-inflicted. They chose to do that, and I think they paid the price for it.
They did, Doc, and listen, I'm not a fan of how a lot of these teams do preseason. I remember coming in as a rookie. Matter of fact, my first 4 years, a guy like Curtis Martin, he played in every preseason game except for the last one, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And you just know from experience, just there are certain positions that you have to get out there and hit and play live football. If you don't, when you get out there for the first time, it's going to be a shock to you. And as far as I'm concerned, there's nobody on this roster that has earned the right or earned the privilege to say or that you should be giving them any type of time off. These guys need to be out there practicing. They need to hit in a preseason game. Before you get to the regular season. And I think that you saw that, especially when you're playing against a team like Tampa Bay, who has a head coach and Bowles, the way that just his mentality, the way it is, the way his teams have always played, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You can't allow that to be your first time having live contact. And I think that that's what the Commanders ran into. With that said, they did play against a better team. We have to remember, Tampa Bay was a couple of plays away from making it to the next round of the playoffs. They have ballers on their team. Baker Mayfield was able to he brought his A game, being 24 for 30. And so I just think that this was something that needed to happen for the Commanders. With that said, having one game under your belt where you're out there dealing with live fire, you get a chance to see the character of this team coming up against the Giants this year. And I'm going to stick with my gut, Doc, and what I said, what I felt coming into this season. I do think that this is the year that the Commanders will beat the Giants. Personally, I feel like they should sweep the Giants. And listen, it's as simple as this. All the talk about how much better the franchise has gotten from top to bottom. This is a team that you have to go out here and you have to beat. You have to get Terry McLaurin the ball more. You just have to find a way to get him the ball. I don't care who you watch. Good offensive coordinators, the good play callers, they find a way to get their playmakers the ball. And so that's something that they have to do a better job of doing. But I fully expect that the Commanders will come out this week and put up a much better showing. And on the defensive side of the ball, Doc, you know, some people may not like what I'm going to say, but these cornerbacks that the last regime drafted, they're just not good. They're just not good. Forbes is just, on the NFL level, he's not good. St. Juice, as far as I'm concerned, he's just not good. And I'm saying this because when it comes to St. Juice, I see the potential. But the reality is when the team needs it most, it just does not show up.
Well, can't nobody go be confused by what you said if they've watched the games. I thought Juice was in really good position. He admitted his mistake, turned the wrong way once, did this, all that. But again, Hall of Famer and a guy who might be knocking on the door, beat you on that, they were just better on that play. I can live with that effort. I'm willing to keep fighting with him. The other kid seriously needed therapy. And this injury, and no, it's not his fault. He was abused by them losing their best coach in the secondary a year ago to Tennessee, that whole debacle. But that was Coach Dum Dum's move. And so as a result, he was just he's a casualty of war. And that's what happens. But for us to keep living with it, that's what I don't want to see. So I'm, you know, not glad he got hurt, but he got an injury now. So let's move on beyond that and then pick up the pieces, you know, down the road. So let me ask you about Terps. Today, very, very disappointing outcome against Sparty. What do you anticipate today, and why will the outcome be different?
First off, I'm still hurting over that Michigan State loss. The one thing you have to understand about Michigan State, regardless of what their record is, that school, just with the football, has a tendency to just be a team that's just going to fight. And they were able to take advantage of some things that we didn't do well. We stayed in third and long situations. And in order for us to win this game, I'm going to go back to something that happened in the Michigan State game. 4:25 left in the fourth quarter. We're up 24-17. We miss a field goal. Third and one, 2:55 left on the clock. We couldn't convert a third and one. And on third and 10, with less than 2 minutes left on the clock, they're driving. We get a pass interference, which allows them to get more downs. They move into position. They score. They win the game. For me, this game is an identity game. This is all about the type of character that the guys have in the locker room. Last week, our starting cornerback was playing with, I believe, two broken fingers. So we had a true freshman playing cornerback, and they took advantage of that. I fully expect that offensively we will continue to move the ball. Billy has done a great job at the quarterback position. I'm really impressed with the way that he's transitioned from being a running quarterback to being a true quarterback in every aspect. He was 26 of 34. When I watched this game, I really broke down the Wake Forest, Virginia game. I think that there's a lot of plays for us to make in the passing game. I don't think that Virginia covers very well. If we can get the run game going, I just think that this has potential to be an offensive, explosive game for us. The offensive line has been a lot better this year. We just can't beat ourselves. We can't beat ourselves with penalties. We can't have situations where we have a team line up for a field goal, they miss it, but then we hop off sides, give them an opportunity. So for me, if the team can cut down on the penalties, just don't beat yourselves. And the one thing that, and this for me, this is where you don't just look at the players, you also have to look at the coaches, and I take my hat off to Michigan State. Every time we went with a split safety look, they torched us deep. We cannot allow UVA to get these deep plays. They have a big, tall wide receiver, Malachi Fields. We cannot allow him to erupt. This quarterback, we have to keep him in the pocket, which I think that we'll do a much better job of keeping these quarterbacks in the pocket. So I fully expect the Terps to get back on track this week. This is a character game for me, so I'm looking at the character of the guys that we have. Ty Felton continues to ball out. He had 11 receptions for 152 yards and a touchdown. And we just have to connect on our deep shots. We had some deep shots that we just missed by a yard. I really expect that these guys are going to take care of business today. And to me, a rivalry game against UVA.
You ain't lying, man. I remember those days, and it was a rivalry. Well, we wish you the best with the Turtles, and of course tonight in your event at the Turtle. So have a good one, and man, we look forward to you dropping this knowledge on us week by week. Appreciate you, LJ.
No problem, Doc. Appreciate you.
You got it. Lamont Jordan, as coach would say, simply one of the best. And Lamont joins us courtesy of the BetQL guest hotline. And we love that brother's football mindset. It is absolutely awesome. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. This Saturday's a version of Overtime. And a couple shout-outs on X. So I'll save that for the return. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Overtime. Shout out to 3 Mayo Monkey. Get well, my brother. Fighting through a heart attack, which is no joke, but you built for this, man. So I don't even want to think of the idea of coming to this microphone and not having all the canine crew that are there chomping at the bit, agreeing, disagreeing, whatever, but always vigilant. And that's what it's all about, man. Mitchell in New Jersey, welcome.
How we doing, Doc? What's popping? Thanks for taking my call.
Mitchell, it's just great, man. We're so lucky. You got this
that's huge, right, I'm lucky
college
to be
football
told.
Card, man, and UFC, you've got the spear tonight. You got, I mean, the curly W. It's just, I mean, the O's making a move. Hokies getting on the good foot. It's just, what more do you want?
I know. It's a good day. It's great to be alive. And I love college ball, I think, more than NFL, especially my USC, the Big Ten folks. Big Ten, I think USC, they're not the best college in the Big Ten. I think they got the best quarterback. Another quarterback to look out for, he's the next. He came in with Miller Morrison in 2021. Jackson Dart, Ole Mississippi. They can hang in there, stay undefeated. They'll be in the playoffs, too.
Mitch, you're making all these assumptions after one game? You doing all this after one game?
2 weeks. So, USC's 2-0, and they're taking care of Michigan next week. And also,
yeah.
Ole Miss is 2-0 also. And they're in SEC,
Michigan's,
right? Best conference.
Michigan's not.
They won 9-10 games.
They were. And SC, no, if the defense, look, when they got the Bruins defensive coordinator, they were awful. And now they're not. And so, yeah, with that talent level, they should be what they are. I mean, this is the biggest underachievement in college football. It's unbelievable. Right. Yeah, so you're on the East Coast.
Yeah.
On the West Coast, nobody's surprised.
I somehow make it. I make an effort to see as much as I can and read about it, especially now that you're seeing the Big Ten, which I always had, and I have the SEC.
Yeah,
it's great. At Oklahoma, he has such great defenses, Lincoln Riley. And then, unfortunately, the Tua, I think he should take the money and run, stick it to the NFL. They're making so much money. I'm glad it's guaranteed that part.
You speak like a civilian, not like a warrior. So most civilians are going to feel that way, but he's not a civilian.
No, but you want to have clear.
He's a warrior. They don't think like us. We're sitting right here eating, you know, with a frosty beverage on that. All I'm doing is trying to make it clear to people: you're not him. I'm not him. We're on the bench. We're on the sidelines. This dude is a peak performer. He's closer to a seal than a guy sitting on a couch eating a donut. So when people give me opinions, I mean, I get it. Everybody's got one. But you don't understand.
Right.
And you never will. You never will. So just let stuff go. You just got to let it go. It's like the firefighter.
Okay,
will you really ever understand the courage that it takes that firefighters do? I don't. I just why I admire them. I'm trying to run out of the burning building. They run into it. Can you tell me you relate to that?
No, I can't. I'm too small.
No, me neither can I.
And I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken.
No, well, dude, I'm right with you. I'm not running in the burning building. That's my point. We're not built for that. But these dudes that are playing pro ball in the peak of their youth, in shape, they don't think like we do. That's why I'm trying to just convey to you and the public that the moment this brother is cleared, my opinion is that he's going right back to it. Because that's how he's
thinking a little bit of his post-career. He still have a lot of life left.
Yeah, he does. But again, yeah, man, I'm just telling you, you do things when you're surrounded by people that you love. They love him. He loves them back. He's got this burden on him. May not be true or may not be real, but in his mind, he's a leader of this football team. He is going to do everything in his realm to be there for those people, as well as his family. Those two things are going together, and I'm just sorry to say they're about as close to even as you could ever imagine. And so I want Tua to live as long as he can, but I'm just trying to step in and think for just a moment. Wow. And I can only relate to it having done not brain damage, but ignorant things as well, playing injured, because I no way could I let them brothers down that I got to work with. I was going to play with one arm or one leg or one eye or whatever.
Oh, God.
Because there's no way I would let them down. That's the point I'm trying to convey. Hey, Mitchell, you're the best, man. I always enjoy listening to you every week.
All right.
Have a
Thanks
good
for
one. I
got to
go to break. Have a good one. Got to go to break, man, before Chris snaps me like a pretzel. We'll be right back, 12:58 here in the nation's capital on overtime.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.